Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, it's another episode of the Industrial Talk Podcast. This platform, of course, is dedicated to you, the women and men of industry, the women of men of manufacturing, all things in between. You are bold, you are brave. You dare greatly. You innovate like nobody's business. You're changing the lives and you're changing the world. As we speak, that's why we celebrate you on this particular podcast, because we just plain love you. All right, in the hot seat. In the hot seat this time, Michelle is her name. Reines is the last name. That's spelled R-E-I-N-E-S. Badass Leadership is the company. She is the founder of that wonderful leadership company. It's a great conversation. She brings mad skills. Let's get cracking. All right. You're going to like this conversation. You just can't bring the goods if you come in and say, hey, I've got badass leadership skills. You can't. You've got to live those badass leadership skills, and she does, man. She's got a great, great attitude, great story, great motivation, absolutely wonderful conversation. Okay, we're going to make this one quick. Again, you need to be collaborating, innovating, right? And you need to be educating all the time. All the time, because you need to be resilient, you need to be tenacious, and you need to do it with a sense of speed. We need you more than ever, absolutely, without a doubt. We need you more than ever. Now, you can always go out to industrialtalk.com. That's where I'm at. Reach out to me. I would love to have a conversation with you. I would love to be able to get you on the podcast. I would love to be able to celebrate your story, because your story needs to be told. Get on this doggone podcast, and let's get that story out there, because you deserve it. And I'm, the water's fine, man. I make it easy for you. You don't even have to worry. You don't have to sit there and say, oh my gosh, I'm going to be on a podcast. I'm going to be heard by a lot of people. We have a great time. But the most important thing is that you do need to get your story out. It does have to happen. You have a wonderful message to tell people who need to hear it, and more than ever, right? And that's why this platform is about collaboration, 100%. It is about innovation. We highlight all of the great people that are in the world of innovation. You know that. And it's all about education. I've got everything out there on industrialtalk.com. Reach out. Doggone it. It's all technology, baby. I can reach you in a big way. All right. She's in the hot seat. Michelle is in the hot seat. She's got a great stat card out there on LinkedIn. But you got to understand, man, I love this type of candid reality type of points. And we go through all 12, and it goes by fast, and she doesn't mess around, and we have a great conversation. So enjoy this particular interview, because she's badass. All right, Michelle Reines, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Absolute, and I mean absolute honor that you have taken time out of your busy schedule. And I think you're at the West Coast, and it's still early there.
Yes, it is. I have one cup of coffee down so far.
Oh, yeah, I'm a coffee. I live off of that. It's good stuff. By the way, good coffee, Stumptown.
Ooh, haven't heard of that one.
Oh, you got it. Stumptown. There you go, Stumptown. I'm just giving you a plug out there.
There you go.
Whole beans, grind it, French press it, delicious.
Ooh. I think I can handle that.
it is. It is good. All right, for the listeners out there. Now, I want to make sure you understand, listeners, you need to go right now while she's telling her story about who she is, sort of a little background, a little 411. You need to get your paper and pencil, because we're going to go down 12, and this is cool, badass leadership things that you need to consider and write them down. Plus, we're going to have a lot of connections, so fear not. You're going to be able to connect with Michelle in a big way, because you're not going to be disappointed. All right, Michelle, with that, give us a little 411 on who you are.
Absolutely. My name is Michelle Reines. I'm a Southern California-based gal, but originally a Midwesterner out of Chi-Town. Love it. Miss it. especially the pizza and the hot dogs and the people.
The food is just...
Oh, my God, it's insane.
You can tell I'm committed to the food, right? Everything's like food. Industry stuff's fine, but the food is where it's at, man.
It's nuts. I love it. Go on a diet just to go there because I always gain 5 to 7 in 3 days. It's insane.
Oh, it's delicious.
Yes, all yes. Right. Anyway, so I'm a leadership development coach now, but really I'm, you know, a grassroots gal. I grew up, started out in sales, and then worked my way up through operational leadership and made a lot of mistakes. Hence, the book is called From Bad to Badass. So the book is primarily about all the bumps and bruises. And so that's been my journey. And that's where these lessons were born from all the mistakes that I've made, all the human capital casualties that I've caused, the operational dysfunctions that happened along the way. And so really that's who I am and why I'm doing the work I'm doing as a badass leader.
I like it. And if you were listening to a little buzz out back there, I had a fan on me. So I'm sorry about that. I've shut it down.
You hot flashing this morning?
I'm always hot flashing. I'm always warm. I don't know. And here I live in Louisiana, home of just humidity. It's amazing. I'm going to digress real quick. When we first moved out here 20 years ago, I remember, and we moved from California, Yorba Linda area, and moved out here. And I remember mowing my lawn in Yorba Linda took me about a half hour max. And that's with chit-chatting with the neighbors. Coming here, I got this big old yard. I thought I was going to have a coronary. It was hot.
So we have to get the ride mower with a cup holder.
All right. So let's start into what we're talking about. And this is a leadership conversation. This is truly important. You know, as well as I do, listeners out there, we've been talking a lot about collaboration, innovation, and education with a sense of speed and purpose and tenacity. This is where we're at today. This is what you need to do. And all of the conversations that I have regarding any innovation, technology, anything like that, it gets down to culture and people. You need leaders. And if you've been listening to the podcast, you know that I think this challenge, this two-fingered death punch that we had with COVID, highlighted, unfortunately or fortunately, great leaders and not so great leaders. And I think it put the pressure on the ones that are not so great and really exposed some of the challenges. And that's why this conversation is so absolutely spectacular. All right. I'm going to start out with a question real quick, Michelle. Like, let's lay the mistakes down. You said you made mistakes. Yeah. Just let's talk a little bit about that.
There are so many. Let me start with what I call my cataclysmic wake-up call, mm-hmm. which was when I was, I firsthand experienced the Peter Principle. So for those of you who haven't heard of it, it's when you're promoted to your level of incompetence, which I most definitely was. Great in the sales field, put some fantastic numbers up on the board, got some recognition from the powers that be at the corporate headquarters, and boom, earned a promotion. Now I had 14 to 18 lives I was responsible for and zero competency when it came to understanding how to lead. And my wake up came in the form of a pile of resignations and in keys and some very colorful language letting me know where I could stick it and what they thought of me. And it wasn't, and you know, the scariest part about it is I was oblivious. You know, I was an unconscious manager. I wasn't a leader. So I lacked self-awareness. I had no idea I was blowing it, especially when it came to human capital. And that was the first time that I realized and really became familiar with my mirror, that my team is my results. And I was fortunate enough to be 25 at the time or just turning 26. So to get that lesson at such a young age was really important because it really set the course correction for me of what would be a lifelong commitment to learning how to lead.
Isn't it interesting how companies, and this happens all across the it's not one company or another. Companies just do this. You have success. You have success out in the field. You're doing whatever you need to do. And there's just this natural tendency to say, success out in the field, great leader. And that's just not the case.
Scary. Right?
It is. And it just happens over and over again. And not only that, great leader, but we don't have to train because we don't want to train. We don't want to educate. We don't want to do all of that. But why not? Because she had success over here. Guaranteed success over there. And it just is an absolute, I could say some.
It's dangerous.
It's a really mess.
Dangerous. Yeah.
Not to say it doesn't happen successfully. I understand sometimes it does, but that's the reality of it. So you had this experience. You're saying, damn, I've got I've got some challenges here. People are putting the right, and yeah, you got to build it back up. You got to figure out you have some real challenges. So this started your journey on the badass leadership road. Is that correct?
I would say that the reality of badass leader wasn't born until after I became a leadership coach, but I definitely got on the path of recognizing that I needed to do something differently for people to want to play on my team. And at that time, we're talking early 1990s, so I'm 56 now, right? So in early 1990s, there wasn't an abundance of great leadership books. We were still very top down as right. leaders. And then I'm a female leader in downtown Chicago, right? So man's town, especially in the 1990s. So I didn't have a lot of resources, didn't have the support. So I had to figure out how to basically bolt it together and try different things to figure out how to get people to want to get out of bed and come and play their ass off for me on my team. And so that's where I started to get on the path of, okay, how do I figure it out? And one of the first things that I did was, well, first off, the bad news, the really bad news that made that cataclysmic failure even worse is I was working in a unionized environment. So, yeah, you don't want to mess with the union, right? And their people. So my
especially up there, man.
Bad news, right? Chi-town unions, yeah. I mean, it was so I really blew it. So I had, the unions weren't anxious to bring and give me personnel, replacement personnel. And I'm sure not gonna have people walk through and be blacklisted because they're, trying to come to work for me. So I had a lot of bridge rebuilding to do and trust to earn before I could even start rehiring. So yeah. it was bad news. It was with the engineering and janitorial unions in downtown for building managers. Not pretty. Yeah. So, but great experience, and what a great education for me to figure out how to, choke down some humble pie very quickly and then figure out how do I now get replacement workers that'll come to work for me because my reputation was crap at that point. Yeah.
I don't want to ask what you did, but it was
not fun. It was not fun.
I found the napalm bomb, and I was just sitting there just torching and it's sticking on people and everything. I've been there, done that. I know exactly what it's all about. Let's turn the table. All right. Paper and pencil time, everybody out there. We're going to go through the 12, right? The 12.
Yep, 12.
I can't say 12 steps. Let's not do
12
that.
12 leadership lessons.
That's about right. That's 12 leadership lessons. And we're going to start with number one. Okay, paper and pencil right here. It's easy. It's an easy one. Talk about don't be an ass.
Exactly. Yeah.
Talk to us.
Yeah, so that was my first bull ride, what I call in the book my bull ride, my fall from grace. So with that team, that's where I recognized.
What, you said you were an ass?
I was an ass, absolute ass. And I was oblivious to that fact, which is actually quite dangerous. And over the years, I've worked with a lot of executive leaders and mid-level leaders that are oblivious to the fact that they're also an ass. And so that lack of self-awareness is scary, especially in an environment, which was the environment I was in, where the metrics were looking good. I mean, we were month over month kicking butt. And so on paper, if you're sitting in a C-suite and you're looking at reports, you're thinking Michelle's out there getting it done and her team's kicking ass. And the reality is the way I went about it, it's not sustainable. And it, fortunately for me, they walked out. The really scary part are the slow bleeds, right? The people who you start losing one at a time.
Yeah.
And so it's really doesn't hit the radar. You don't get the blip that, hey, maybe it's a leadership problem. And so you get that slow attrition. But for me, I had an abrupt wake up. Multiple people walked out at once. And so I couldn't hide behind that. And so that's where it gets really scary when you have unconscious leadership at the helm and they're getting results either because of, the industry is wrong, right, and they have the right products and they're in the right timing in the right environment,
yeah.
But they still suck as a leader. Imagine how much that's costing organizations.
But here's the deal. How did you come up with the fact that you were being an ass? But you have to have a self-awareness. You have to have that level of humility to say, ugh,
yeah,
I'm not a nice person. And it shows.
Yeah. Well, and the metric I was measuring for success was the one that was on the page, right? And so when the people came up and basically said, you're a B and you're this, that, and the other, and we can stick it and we're out of here.
Right.
That, that was my wake up call. It wasn't my self-awareness. they brought it to my attention. And then I realized I'm the common denominator here. I'm the problem.
Once again, it gets down to humility. You're going to have to just accept it, no matter how painful it is. You're going to have to just say, yeah, I stepped through the door. My family tells me that I am. It just is every day.
If one person tells you, maybe it's not true. But when you get two or more,
I do. All right, you got that level of humility. So, yes. Don't be an ass. That's right. Number one. And you're gonna have to just sort of have that self reflection. If you're sitting there going, "I'm not an ass," you're an ass.
That's right. Now.
Figure it out. All right, number two. Stop, drop, take a selfie.
Yes.
I'm intrigued. Talk to
yes.
me.
Yes. So now that you know that you're an ass, right? So you need to stop, drop, take a selfie and figure out what's working for you that you want to keep in your toolbox. What's not working for you that's blowing people up, causing human capital casualties, costing your organization's money and brand reputation and so forth. And then what is it that you need to do differently? So you really need to self-diagnose. And there are a ton of tools out there that you can leverage to help get a better understanding of how you communicate from, you know, engagement tools to personality profiling. One I'm a huge fan of is the Everything Dis product. My MDR brand supports it fully, and we leverage it in our toolbox at Badass Leader. So, you know, get to know your selfie. And I use a play on words, but the reality is you can't fix it if you don't understand what's not working. It's just like a diagnosis. You go to a doctor, you get a diagnosis, and you get a treatment plan.
Yeah. And I can see how, and being who I am, if I go down this road, I've realized that I am an ass and I realize I need help. And then I go down the road and I do the self-assessments and I figure out what are my strengths, weaknesses, whatever it might be. I'm not done, right?
No.
Typically, I'm going to say, all right, I'm done. I'm ready to roll. I'm a good leader now. All right, let's go.
No, it is the first step.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just, you got to. What I'm saying, listeners, is that you got to just keep going. Don't just stop and say, hey, number two, I'm done. I'm an ass. And there it is. All right. Number three, let's talk about trust, baby. Let's talk about it.
So one of the things I wanted to follow up with on the comment that you made is I think about leadership as, you know, you invest in that gym membership, right? And you go and you work out really hard for a week.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, I'm healthy, I'm fit, you know, I'm buff. You know, it's like if you don't show up and you don't do the work and you're not consistent, then you're not going to stay healthy and you're not going to stay fit. So as leaders, you have to evolve, right?
That's a beautiful analogy, yep.
Yeah. So let's talk about trust, baby. So trust is now that you understand what's working for you, not working for you, what you need to do differently, then the most important thing when it comes to people and leadership is to make sure that you're pouring the concrete and the foundation of trust. Because that is, you know, and it's not my revelation. There are a lot of leaders before me that have come up with that. But I can tell you that when your teams don't trust you, or when I don't trust a leader, I'm not going to give them all of my equity. Right? I'm not going to be going the extra mile, right? I need to know that I feel safe and that I can speak my truth, right? And that I'm going to, that you'll go to the line for me, that I can trust that it's a safe environment, it's a safe culture. You know, all of those things are critically important, you know, and it is the foundation on which a badass team is built. You know, and that is a critically important next step for leaders.
Because I've been in organizations where that trust is not available. Nobody feels comfortable with, say, no, that's not a really good. And if they share their insights, whether it's right or wrong, it doesn't really matter. That feeling of being able to share is so important because nothing's, I mean, come on. It's like you got to be able to do that and have that trust. Boy, once you do, great things can happen. Great insights can happen, which is just absolutely spectacular.
Which makes you better as a leader. It makes your team better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Let's talk a little bit about put your people first. What?
Yes. So now that you've established trust, right, you need to make sure that as a leader that you're prioritizing people over performance, which, wow, is that counterintuitive to everything that organizations teach, right? It's about the metric that we look for is the performance result. But what we forget is that the machine that gets us there are our people. And so we have to take care of our people first. And the metric of the performance is the outcome you enjoy because you're a badass leader.
Yeah, see, I've always get take the picture of if you are in a leadership role, right? Mm-hmm. I always turn upside down that pyramid. You're at the bottom, baby. You're at the bottom, and you're helping others succeed, whether you like it or not. And if they succeed, we all succeed, and we're sipping champagne. If you are flipped around and you're sitting there yelling at them, nah, you're drinking beer. Trust me, you're drinking beer, not champagne.
Yeah, well, you're back down to lesson one, right? You're being an ass. So you have to flip the pyramid.
You do.
Yeah.
You do. All right. There you go, man. So far, so good, listeners. I'm telling you right now, I'm enjoying this conversation. All right. Number five, be an epic coach. Be an epic coach.
Yeah, that is, boy, that's a lesson. That's an investment I wish I had done so much earlier in my career.
Yeah.
If I had a do-over, I would actually get certified as a coach when I was in a leadership position, because there's nothing more transformative, with a team than having a leader who's an epic coach and knowing how to coach and knowing exactly what your people need and when they need it, and they need it served up their way, not your way. And you have to understand your teams. You have to know how to apply those coaching skills. That is a true maximizer to outcomes.
See, I like
and
that.
And it's a lot of fun.
It is, but I think that it segues into the next one, which is really important. Let's say I've realized I'm an ass. I take the steps to stop being an ass. I start to build trust, right? And then I put my people first. Now I'm building my epic persona, my coaching capabilities. And now we got to build that doggone team, that badass team. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So lesson six is, that's the key. You just did what the book is designed to do. It's all about stacking the lessons, right? So you got to start with lesson one all the way through five. And then because you're epic coaching, you've got that foundation of trust. Now you're in you have the capacity as a leader to design, to recruit, to build that badass team. And building a badass team is everything from your recruitment processes, your interviews, your onboarding process, your ongoing coaching, how you integrate them to your team, building what I call a musketeer workforce, to where they understand the culture is all for one, one for all. We don't throw each other under the bus.
Right.
It's not an egotistical environment, and that those types of bad behaviors will be held accountable and not tolerated. So it's really setting the framework for the culture that you expect your team to help uphold. And then you have to be willing to hold people accountable when they step out of line, right?
Yeah, but again, if you do the steps one through five the correct way, then everything else is fine. It just sort of falls into place. Now, many of the conversations I've had, especially right now, as we sort of look at this next normal, new normal, whatever normal that we call it, a lot of companies are trying to survive, trying to rebuild. Right. Yeah. And how do you prosper in this new world that we call it? And what's interesting is that a part of that is you have to make resource decisions, people, human decisions, not everybody. I think pre-virus, we were a bit lazy, a little fat, a little, slow and sluggish. Now the virus, we better be lean and focused and sharp. And that comes down with the team. And I like that. Build that badass team. Those are great questions to have. And of course, to do that, there's a ton of other steps to be able to follow, but but that's in the book. Is it?
It's absolutely in the book.
That's a segue right there, baby. All right. This is an interesting one. You got the badass team. Now you want to create a struggle. What do you think about that?
Well, here's the thing, is this is what got me in trouble, right? This is what caused the cataclysmic explosion or the bull ride, is that I created the struggle. I came in, I did a takeover on a team, and I went in and I created struggle. I didn't have lesson one through six in play, right? So I showed up as an ass and it backfired, right? So the premise here is take care of lesson one through six and you can create the struggle all day long. Your people trust you. You can stretch them. You can grow them outside their comfort zones. You can expand their job descriptions. You can cross-pollinate. Now you can leverage. And the idea is, I say in my book, be like Gumby and stretch them, stretch them into their greatest possibility and let them discover their potential. That's what great leaders do. We create more great leaders. And it's leadership is not a title. Right? It's an attitude. It's a commitment. It's a behavior. Yeah. And so anyone can be a leader. And so our role as a leader is to develop other leaders. And the stretch allows us to do that.
Yeah, but and I'm telling you right now, you're not going to be a good leader if you're not struggling. If you're not struggling each and every day, and if you're not feeling that, and if you're not overcoming and, you know, climbing that mountain and doing the things that you need to do, you're weak. You're not growing.
You're not growing.
At all.
Yeah, right. the growth and possibility are outside the comfort zone. It's not inside.
Yeah. Some days I don't want to push it. Some days. But today I'm not.
Good.
Now, I want to struggle.
We picked a good day.
I want to struggle today. All right. Let's go to 8. Suck it up, buttercup.
Yes. And boy, hasn't this year given us an opportunity to do some of that.
This is great for me to be an asshole. That's exactly what this year is. It's like, wow, I really am one.
We are in a constant state of re-innovating, right? Evolution. Yeah. And this is now, you go right down to, your purpose where you say collaborate, innovate, educate, right? And we do it with purpose and tenacity, right? So these lessons help you do that. And in the midst of a struggle or a suck it up buttercup mindset is really when we are in the trenches and we're going through, be it a crisis, one of the examples I use in the book was the 2008 real estate market collapse. I was in real estate operations under a brand new construction project that was coming out of the ground, ultimately going to be 3,000 residences. And boom, the 2008 rug was pulled out from underneath us, right? You had fewer people, loss of benefits, people handing in keys and walking out on their assets, people committing suicide, it was like really, really bad crisis. So as a leader, all eyes are on the leader. And so how we suck it up and present ourselves to our team are going to help them navigate or they're going to collapse. And so it's really important that we know where to go to help get support for ourselves, but we don't get that support from our teams. We get it from peers. We get it from mentors. We get it from our leaders. We don't want to, share our, worst fears and drama downward through the organization. We want to empathize, but our role is to support and navigate.
I like it. Absolutely spot on. Number 9, we're going to have to zip through a little bit because we're running out of time. So let's zip through these things. Don't be a kiss ass, please.
Don't. Yes. Please don't. Yeah. So I will keep this one short, but the reality is that we have to learn as leaders how to communicate respectfully sugar-free in order to get our objectives achieved. And that's a talent and it can be done. It can be learned. And it's critically important. We know how to do that.
Our leaders.
Yeah, they need to know how we think. They need to know when we disagree, and we need to know how to disagree. Last thing you want is an artificially harmonious environment. And if you're a kiss ass, that's what you're creating.
Love it. Speaking my language, I love it. Be a groupie.
Yes.
Don't be a kiss ass, but be a groupie.
Groupie. Yeah, and the groupie part is for your people. Right. So, one of the metaphors I use is, when I go to see, if I'm going to go to a Metallica concert, right, I'm buying the T-shirt, I'm getting in line, I'm wanting their autographs, I'm, screaming and hollering and acting like a lunatic, so excited and enthusiastic. I don't even know these guys. Right. And so I work with people every single day. My team, I need to be a groupie for my team as a leader. They need to know that you're their number one fan.
See, I like that. And you're the first person that mentioned Metallica on the Industrial Talk podcast, which is all cool. Don't get me wrong. It's all doggone cool. All right. Expand your tribe. Number 11, expand your tribe.
Yeah. So the idea here is this was a too little too late lesson for me. I should have been drinking from this Kool-Aid a lot sooner. We're better together. Bottom line, we need to expand our tribe and we need to cross-pollinate and share our intellectual capital with one another. Makes our organization stronger, healthier, and more competitive.
And that's part of that collaboration mantra. Because you're absolutely correct. You don't have all the answers.
No.
You might have a little sliver of that pie, but somebody else might have another sliver and better together.
Yeah.
Writing that down. Bet. It's on my notes. It sounds good. Now, the last one, number 12, love somebody like you. Yes.
There's a song like that by Keith Urban. It's a great song. But that one.
And once again, you're Metallica. Now Keith and Urban.
Hey, I'm diversified. I'm very diversified with my music taste. So Love Somebody Like You is a personal story. It's a lesson that I learned from my ex-husband who was dying from cancer and who ultimately did lose his battle.
Right.
And what was interesting is he was an achiever of life, you know, much like I am. He was on the Ferrari gas pedal of accomplishing life.
Yeah.
And once, you know, you are hit with what they call a death row diagnosis, perspective changes very swiftly. And the education I received from him in his final months that he fought like hell, but was that there were three things that he found most important, that if he could reset, have a do-over, he discovered that the most important thing in life was health, and that all that he had acquired, and he had been quite successful, he would have given all of it away to have his health. And the reason why he wanted his health was for the second piece was more time. So he really wanted time. Yeah. And the third piece of that was with those he loved. And so his value system was just flipped on his head. And so that is critically important. So when we think about being badass leaders and getting all lessons 1 through 11 together, if we're not taking care of ourselves and we're not taking care of our mental, physical, emotional health and well-being, then we're never going to really be a truly badass leader. And I have to confess, a lot of people have challenged me and said, how come that's lesson 12 if that's so important? And I said, because it's an autobiography. This is an autobiography of lessons learned. And this is a lesson that I still get to align properly because I'm an accomplisher. I'm a gas pedal, results-oriented kind of gal. And I need to constantly be reminded that I need to take care of myself and so that I can take care of others. And this is a work in progress for me. So I really invite listeners to put number 12 at number zero, right? Let that be your foundation that you build all other 11 lessons off of.
Yeah, but here's the reality. Absolutely right. I don't think people realize it until they're in that position, right?
Yeah.
And it's hard not to go through the 12th or the 11th steps and understand, because baked in there is a desire to be other focused, humble, beautiful qualities. And until you have those and see them and experience it, it's hard to even begin to address that desire to health, mental, physical, be with somebody. And I always say, hey, be bold, be brave, dare greatly, right?
Yes.
I like your gas pedal analogy. You're going to change the world. But the best part about that, hang out with people who are bold, brave, and dare greatly. And I'm telling you, you're unstoppable. And it is fun. And it is exciting. And
it's rocket fuel.
It is. It's a fun ride. I don't care if you, whatever success means, but it is fun, and I always encourage that. Always.
Awesome.
Oh, I love number 12.
Me too.
I love number 12. All right. You active out there on LinkedIn?
Yes, you betcha.
All right, listeners. Now, a couple of things. A couple of things that we need to talk a little bit about here. Real quick, just real quick. Don't walk away yet. We're going to have a couple of links. I think you could get our book, right? You could get your book out there on Amazon.
Audio, I'll get that paper, link out there. Yep, all that.
That's a must read. And then I think you have something else that is something about the toolbox lessons.
Yes. So on the website, go to badassleader.com and then check out the toolboxes. Not only are they fun and make you laugh as you read through them, but there's some really fantastic resources there to help you get that selfie in alignment.
Love it. All right, leaders. See how I did that? That industrial leaders out there. You need to reach out to Michelle Reines. Now, she spells it, just FYI, R-E-I-N-E-S.
Yes.
But it's pronounced Reines. So don't make that mistake. Put a little comma in there. Type in badass and you'll find her.
Badass leader, you'll find me. Yeah. And don't forget about the gift page, because I did set up a gift page for your listeners where they can download some fun goodies. And so if they go to the website, badassleader.com, do /podcast-gift. You're not going to find it if you go to the website, because it's only for podcast listeners. So you've got to do the little secret thing on the back, the podcast-gift.
I need to have that on my website, right?
Yes, you do.
All right. Listeners, Michelle Reines is her name. Badass Leadership is the organization, and I'm telling you, she brought the truth bombs big time. Thank you very much for joining.
Oh, it was a kick. Thanks so much for having me.
Listeners, don't go away. We're going to be right back, and I'm going to wrap it up on the other side, so stay tuned.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. What did I tell you? Michelle Reines, those 12 points are absolutely spectacular. I guarantee you, she's got a book out there. You need to get it. You just got to have those points down. You got to live those points. And I'm telling you, you will not be disappointed. And I mean, she's got it. Come on, reach out to her. She's got a great stat card. She's a lot of fun. All right, Michelle Reines. Now, that's R-E-I-N-E-S. Do not make a mistake. Put a little comment in there. Badass Leadership. Boop. You will find her. All right, be bold, be brave. You know that I'm going to do that all the time. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly. We've got to do that more than ever before right now, right? You got to do it. But more importantly, find those bold, brave, and daring greatly professionals. Bring them in. Start to collaborate with them. Start to innovate with them. Start to educate. And I'm telling you, you're going to change the world. Remember, reach out. Reach out to me, industrialtalk.com. I'm here. And the water's nice and warm. We're going to have another great interview right around the corner. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. We will be back shortly.